Hello and welcome to Not Your Average Show. This is Lydia.
And I'm your host, Tishon.
And we are back with another episode. Welcome everyone to our show today. Grab a seat at our table. We are here to discuss any and everything today. This is definitely a safe space, so don't judge us, and we definitely won't judge you. Today, we're basically going to be wrapping it up this month. As you guys know, it is Mental Health Awareness Month, and we definitely want to pay our homage and pay our respects to the people, not only ourselves, but other people that we may know, or just people that listen to us and just in the world that are dealing with mental health day in, day out, or even just monthly, or just having episodes. I, unfortunately, you guys, have some bad news, and I have some good news. So today, unfortunately, Tish will not be joining us. She is on vacation. As you guys know, we all need to take a break sometimes and just enjoy our family and just reset and get things together and just enjoy life, you know, at times. So she won't be joining us today. I know you guys are upset, but it's okay. You know, I'm here. The good news is we do have an amazing, amazing, amazing guest today. His name is John Rico. Woo! Boop, 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 boop.
Hey.
So you guys won't be disappointed. I want you guys to sit back and enjoy the show today. Definitely our guest has a lot of insight on a lot of different things, especially with it being Mental Health Awareness Month. We definitely respect and are excited to hear a male's perspective on things. He's an entrepreneur, a connoisseur of many, many, many things, from real estate to teaching, credit repair, et cetera. He's just a really great man. So I want to welcome you, John Rico. You guys, give it up for John Rico. He is here to drop some jewels on us and to assist with our final episode of Mental Health. So, John Rico, hey, welcome to the show. How you doing?
Hey, Lydia. Hey, thank you again for welcoming me on the show. It's a pleasure to give some insight, to share my journey, and connect with you guys on this level.
Okay, okay. Well, we really appreciate you taking your time out to do this with us and for us. I want to first ask you, I mean, John Rico, just tell us like a little bit about your background. It don't have to be a lot, but you know, like I said, you're an amazing man. You've conquered a lot, and I definitely feel like the people need to know.
Yeah, so interestingly enough, my therapist that I have now, she helped me a few weeks ago reframe the way that I talk about myself. And I'm one of those people who I'm 33 now. And in my 20s, I went through just a really, really tough time coming of age and developing my own identity. And as I moved into my 30s, I remember how I talk about myself in my 20s. And I always would frame things as I've been through so much. I've had so many challenges. This is, it's been hard. Life has been hard. I'm on the upside now. But I always would begin framing the way that I express who I am from a less than healthy standpoint. Mm-hmm. And the reason I say that it's less than healthy is because although that is true that I have been through a lot, I have had a lot of challenges, that's also not the only version of the truth. And so a lot of times when we deal with mental health issues, we begin to realize that we have to frame the way that we talk about ourselves from other versions of the truth that actually stand to serve us. So what she's helped me to understand is, hey, bring that awareness to yourself that when you talk about yourself, when you talk about your life, when you express who you are, frame it from a different position. For instance, instead of saying, I've been through so many challenges, I've had all these ups and downs, I've had to struggle, I've had to strife, I can say I've always been resilient. I've always been someone who's been able to overcome adversity. And so even that framing is something that I talk about when I help people or when I give insight on how mental health can be improved. If you just think your way through your thoughts, more carefully and intentionally rather than starting from a perspective where something's wrong and you're trying to overcome. There's vibration and there's energy in the words that we say and that we express. And so if we do it from the thought process that is helpful and healthy and stands to serve us, we tend to have better life outcomes.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, I was actually going to talk about that a little later in the show, you know, about just how you would, how do you cope and how do you deal with the things that you've overcome and just how do you deal, like you just talked about dealing and how do you talk about yourself is very important. For the last few episodes, me and Tish were giving out like tips, techniques about how to deal with mental health. And that's a really great one because we didn't bring up like the picture that you give other people or like you said, how you talk about yourself. Yep. That's important, not just only for your mental health, but for others. Like I stated earlier, I mean, you're into real estate, teaching, credit repair. I mean, does your lifestyle require a certain level of, I guess, strength or discipline or like your mental health? Kind of tell me about the things that you deal with. I mean, how do you separate, you know, making sure that you're healthy mentally and also dealing with the stresses and the lows of just your responsibilities?
Got you. That's actually a really, really great question. And bear with me, guys. I know I can be a little long-winded, so I'll try to, you know, be as concise as possible. But that's also a loaded question. And the reason why I say that is because in my experience, it's been very, very complex to navigate the level of commitment that I've had to have to get to where I want to be. So let me kind of give you some context. I've always been resilient. I've always been able to overcome challenges. See how I did that self-talk and framing about myself? Now, I haven't always been quote unquote successful in my endeavors, right? And so when I was in my 20s and trying to find my way, trying to develop an identity, I was dealing with a lot of depression and a lot of anxiety for several different reasons. One reason has been over body image. And that was actually a very, very, that was actually one of the most difficult issues that I've had to overcome as I kind of grew up and become of age. And especially hearing that from a male's perspective, I know that can kind of blow people away because we're not used to hearing that men have issues with their body or have issues with the way that they see themselves physically. And women are attracted to confidence and women are attracted to men who are grounded and assured. And honestly, when you're in your 20s as a man, that's the time that you have the most chaos in your mind, because you're developing who you are. All those hormones are changing within you. You're becoming a man. You still feel like a kid in some areas. You know, so it can be complex. So I say that to say that at 33, it was probably not until I didn't remember feeling a real shift in my identity until I was about 27. And I didn't even start to really make headway into a career path until I was about 29 years old. Of course, I've held jobs and had, you know, a career moments, but it hasn't been something where I feel like I feel grounded. Okay. And so juggling being a realtor, juggling being an Airbnb host, having a day job that can be demanding and intense, being a father figure, being in the community, all those things have had to have me develop over time the tenacity to get to those points.
Wow.
So I've had to, it's not one of those things where like all of a sudden I just took on these positions and I just manage it. It's been that I've had to incrementally over the years work on my mental health first and foremost. And as a symptom or as a result of getting to a place where I feel really grounded and assured and certain and confident in my identity, have I been able to add to my plate incrementally?
Right. So you pretty much, you found a great balance. That's what I'm hearing. Like, after the, it's just like steps and phases, you know, dealing with the, you with your mental health, getting your mental together, and starting out with one job, and then you're adding more and more to your plate. So you've pretty much learned how to balance the mental side of it and the work side. It sounds like you have a really great balance now.
I would actually say, rather than balance, I would say I've learned to integrate all of the responsibilities that I have in my life. And okay, when I say integrate, it kind of lends itself to that thought process that I've had to incrementally build upon things. Right. So when I was, you know, in my mid-20s or when I was in my late 20s, I was very much so still confused about what direction I wanted to go in with my life. And mm-hmm. it started when I became almost bankrupt and didn't have a job, didn't have a car, didn't have any support, didn't have any mm-hmm. systems, had lots of school debt from going to Morehouse and being young and not knowing how to manage my finances and things like that. And when I hit 29, I really hit a turning point where I was like, I have to save myself and I have to get to this place where I don't wait for the government to come save me. I can't wait for my parents or family to come tell me the right thing, because they're human. They don't know everything. You know, I can't wait on friends to accompany me to make decisions or anything like that. I have to save myself. And when I got really, really focused on that thought process, then I started creatively creating a plan and a solution so that I could address some of my bigger issues. Mm-hmm. And some of the processes that I took to get to that was an awareness that nobody was coming to save me or help me. And so if I wanted to have help in my life, I would have to reach out to get it. And so that's why I started with therapy probably like in 2015, and I've been going ever since. At this point, my therapist doesn't even call it therapy. We call it that she's my life coach. And so it kind of turns from that vibration of therapy where I'm seeking help for things that are wrong with me to where my life coach is there to help guide me through my thoughts and help me to reframe any things that doesn't serve me. And that's and she's also there to help me to as I go through my journey, assist me in making sure that I'm aligned with the decisions that I want to make.
Wow. Wow. Well, that is definitely awesome. I definitely want to put this on a record. Like, unfortunately, African-American men, they don't get a good rep of, being successful or, just making things happen. And I really admire you for at a young age realizing like, hey, no one owes me anything. I'm not going to wait on anyone. I have to get out here and figure it out myself. And this is just a perfect example of there are Black men, African-American men, whatever you relate or resonate with. Some people don't like to be called Black or African-American. You know, that's another topic for another show. But
I'm blackity black black.
You know, but it's just you're not the stereotype. You're not the statistic that we see every day. Incarcerated, just not getting grips on life and blaming other people, and not just Black men. I mean women do it too, but I'm just saying we're talking about Black men right now. I mean, you're actually you've beaten that stereotype, and I just really appreciate it and I admire it, because you're so young and you see young men that get in their late 20s and they still haven't figured it out. They still haven't figured out hey, no one's going to come save me. Let me get my ass up and get out here and do what I need to do to be successful, not only for me, but for if I have children or for my future or for my family, my girlfriend, significant other, or whatever. You know, you actually learned that pretty fast. I feel like there's a lot of men out here like you, but the news, the media, society, they've always portrayed, hey, Black man, what's that saying that women say, oh, men ain't this, you know what I'm trying to say, men ain't right. shit and all of that, right. you know, it's like we have a very bad stigma on our Black men, and I'm so glad that you are the opposite and you are actually out here trying, you're doing some things, you know, you might not be a millionaire, not yet, but you are pushing, you're pushing for it. You have goals, you are motivated, you're ambitious, you're on it, you know, so I'm just so happy to see that there are men out here that want more for themselves. They don't want to just sleep on their girlfriend's couch and just mooch off of people or blame their parents on why they don't have something. You know, it's just, we talked about that a few episodes ago. Me and Tisha were talking about absent parents and how people blame how they've turned out now. They blame that on their parents or what their parents didn't do or right. what someone else didn't give them. So like I said, I'm just very, very, man, I'm so honored to be in the presence of a Black man that is actually doing something, that is actually accomplishing things and not blaming their circumstances on where they are now, you know? So we gonna get a little real. I'm gonna just keep it real. You know, I always like to kind of play the devil's advocate or okay. just kind of make it controversial. You know, you have a lot of responsibilities, John Rico. You've done a lot. You've seen a lot. You've been through a lot as far as like therapy and things like that. I want to know, and I know you've either gotten this question or you've thought about it. How is it? How do you deal with your mental health and all the things that you have being a Black man in America? Everything that's been going on in the media, society, how do you deal with that? Like, you're successful, you're going places, but you still have that when you see the police, how do you feel?
Right, right.
If you feel like you're being profiled, do you have experiences like that? I mean, how do you manage or deal with the, I'm successful, I could be just as good as any other race or any other nationality or whatever, but I still deal with the, I'm Black in America. Tell us about that.
Wow. That's a great question, and it's extremely layered. What I will say is that it starts with an awareness that, number one, you have to be the change that you want to see in your life. And I put that behind another comment that, how would I say it?
Take your time, my brother. Take your time.
Right, right. Okay, so I believe that mindset is everything. And I also know that I was at some point not a critical thinker. And it starts with us having an awareness that we have to learn how to think critically. Mm-hmm. That's so, so critical. When I was a teacher, I was an English teacher, and that was one of the main things that I tried to get my students, my babies, to understand is that they have to learn how to think critically. And thinking critically means thinking beyond the surface. Okay, right. So whatever that ends up meaning for you, it means for you. Now, when you think critically, you're able to use your mind and use your mindset to overcome what's externally stimulating around you or what's externally dysfunctional around you. Mm-hmm. So if I look out my window or if I look at the news and I see in my neighborhood that people don't care about what's going on in their neighborhood or my neighborhood. They're not trying to be somebody. They're not trying to go anywhere in their life. And if I turn on the news and I see that every time that there's some crime, they put up a Black person's picture on the news. Or if I look and see that we're being stopped disproportionately by police than white people or our counterparts are, I can understand that that is a reality in many people's worlds, right? But as I mentioned before, there's more than one version of the truth. And so being able to think critically is saying, rather than me focusing on what I see outside my window, rather than me focusing on what's happening or what's being presented on the news from a one-sided business entity that's there to sensationalize and caricaturize Black people because of the systemic problems and issues and historical issues that we've had in this country. Or if I look to my left and look to my right and I see that folks aren't doing what they could be and not working up to their potential, I can see that, or I can say to myself, that's not what I want to choose to focus on, and that's not who I want to surround myself with. Because like you said, we have to clap for Black men who are not the stereotype, not the statistic, not the ones who are on the street or selling drugs or incarcerated, et cetera. And that's unfortunate because that actually paints a picture that that's the general consensus of who we are and how we are in this world. When in actuality, that's not really who we are or how we are in this world. It's just how we've been, our society has molded our eyes to see that way. Okay, so I tend to focus on the people who want to go somewhere. I put those energies in my vibration so I can align with folks who are wealth-minded, who are working on improving their mental health, who are in therapy, who spend time in meditation and in isolation and in separation from those spaces that tend to bring us down. I spend time focused on people who lift me up and who love me and who see the best in me or and who have my best interest at heart. And I spend time in high vibrational places where when I go, I can feel the energy and I know that this is a place that I feel aligned with. If I walk into a Walmart and I feel that the energy isn't right, I don't force myself to stay there. I turn around. And so that's the ability to think critically and say what's happening on the surface and what's happening in my external world, I can look past that and I can go towards what makes me happy. And I can go towards what makes me feel like I'm in alignment with my life and my decisions. And I only put myself around people who want to be better and who want the best for me. And if I do that, then I'm able to not stay focused on what the media says I am and what the cops say I am and what I might see in the hood, in my neighborhood.
Exactly. Yeah. That's, man, that is so powerful. I mean, to me, it sounds like it's a choice. Right. It's a choice. We are all choosing what to accept and what not to accept. We are all choosing and what to focus on. Exactly. So the people that's out here that's making excuses for X, Y, and Z and why they're doing this and, oh man, you know, the news and the cops is doing this and doing that. They're choosing to focus on that. And I really love when you said, I'm going to surround myself with people that are trying to do something, because we have people out here and hey, look, I used to be the person that would, I want to be around positive people, but it was so many negative individuals around me at a time in my life where they wasn't where they wanted to be. And I was the type of person like, you know what? I can help them. Man, we can do this together. And I'm inviting all that energy in my life. Man. Like I'm just, and then I'm like, man, why this person doing this to me? Why they stealing from me? Why they lying to me? You know, and I'm still looking at them as my brother. Like, this is my brother. So what just hit me with you saying, surround and focus yourself with people that's doing things, because you can't heal and save everyone. And that's another thing that I'm like stepping into. Like, look, it's a lot of messed up people out here, but it's a lot of people that's doing things. Get around the people that's doing things, because the ones that's not doing anything, all they're gonna do is drain you. They're gonna take away from you, take from you. And I went through that for a minute, and I had to wake up and say, you know what? I don't have to heal this wounded person to be happy, or I don't have to be in this toxic ass relationship just so we can be successful in the end. Like, no, I can really surround myself and focus on positive things and get exactly what I want. I don't have to go through turmoil to be happy. So that just touched on it, like just our focusing, and everything is a mindset, and you choose where you want to go. It don't matter if you came from the hood, from the suburbs. We choose these lifestyles and our, you know, where we're going in life. Man, I really enjoyed this segment today, only because, like I said, you're not a stereotype, Gianrico. You're doing your thing, and you talking about focusing, manifesting, meditating, and, well, you didn't say manifesting, but all of that is tied in, because at the end of the day, I feel like you're creating that momentum for your life to manifest the things that you want and your outcomes. I really appreciate how you say you deal with the police. I mean, a lot of people, they don't think like that. I mean, it's not, I mean, some people watch the news and they get depressed and they walk out of their doors and they're scared every moment. Oh my gosh, if I see blue lights behind you know, it's just an instant like, oh man, I'm about to be profiled. But you sound like you walk your life like, hey, I'm a black man in America, but I'm just as good as the next man, the white man, the Indian man, the, you know, whoever. You're just as good. You don't put yourself beneath anyone just because the news or the media is doing it. And I really respect that. It does sound like at 33, you have a very, very, very strong mind. You have some really great goals, and you're, I mean, I just can't wait to see your success. I can't wait to see you on your private jet in your penthouse. I don't know if you want that. I don't know if you want that. And we're definitely going to have you back on the show, because you might be a minimalist, you know, or somebody that, you know, you might just want your little farmhouse. But I definitely can't wait to see your success and for you to be an example to all the other men and women of color out here. Well, you guys, today has really been a great show. Gianrico, I really thank you, man, like from the bottom of my heart, because people need to see and to hear this type of stuff. Like, there are black men doing things, doing great things out here. And I'm so, I'm just so honored to have you on the show today. I definitely want to let everybody know, hey, this is the end of Mental Health Awareness. This is the last weekend, but as I stated in our previous episodes, look, this is the last weekend of Mental Health Awareness, but Not Your Average Show is always here. You guys know you can email us, you can DM us, anything you guys want to talk about, any concerns, any comments, anything you want us to talk about on the show, you know, you guys can definitely reach out to us. You know, our email, notyouraverageshow50@gmail.com. And then you also can follow us at notyouraverageshow_ on Instagram. Gianrico, did you want to put your info out? You don't have to. I know you you do credit repair and things like that. I don't know if you want to, you got an Instagram you might want to throw out. Maybe some people could reach out to you for maybe some credit repair advice or anything like that.
Oh yeah, I'm always happy to share my information. I have a few businesses, and the one that is making the most impact right now, then has the most meaning to me, is my career as a realtor in the Atlanta area. And so that's really important to me, because generational wealth and generational health is something that I'm extremely dedicated towards, helping our community understand it, especially our Black community. Of course, anybody else is welcome to, you know, reach out to me, etc. But I have a focus on our community, because we typically aren't taught those things as kids. Our parents didn't know. And so they don't have the tools a lot of times to teach us about financial literacy, about the way to build wealth, which is often through real estate, stocks, and entrepreneurship. And so when people are willing to get to that point in their lives where they say, hey, I want to build wealth and I want to use the option of real estate in order to start that process, I give you a whole breakdown of what that process looks like from start to finish, on how to get your credit right, how to get your mindset right, how to get into a home and into your dream home, and how to use that and leverage the home buying process as a way to build wealth. So anyone can reach out to me, and my email address is gianrico.sold, and I'll spell that, it's J-O-N-R-I-C-O.sold @gmail.com. And I have a connection throughout the whole United States with our brokerage, Keller Williams. So even if you're in a different state, I can always get a great agent to help you and still walk you through the process along the way so that you feel connected. So anybody can reach out to me at johnrico.sold@gmail.com, especially if you're in the Atlanta area. And I'm more than happy to help you to become wealthy, healthy, and happy.
Wow. Wow. Okay. Well, like I said, John Rico, it's been a pleasure. You guys know where to find us. Definitely reach out to John Rico. You guys, we're trying to get to the millions, the billions, the trillions, not only financially, but we talk about health. We want your health to be right. We want your mental health to be right. And we want your pockets to be right. So, you guys definitely know where to find us. Hit up John Rico if you want those.
Want
that education and you want that success and somebody that actually will be able to guide you. And until next time, you guys, it's been a pleasure. You guys enjoy the rest of your day. Until next time, have a great day. Bye.
Bye.